Rwanda has begun a week of ceremonies to commemorate the lives of 800,000 Tutsi and moderate Hutus murdered during the genocide that began 25 years ago. The President, Paul Kagame, lit a flame at a memorial site where over a quarter of a million people are buried.
25 years later, here we are, all of us, wounded and heartbroken, yes, but unvanquished.
Stephanie Kabanyana Kanyandekwe is a Rwandan-British composer and a presenter on ABC Classic, and she joins me now. Stephanie, welcome. You were living in Australia in 1994. When do you remember first hearing about the genocide?
A few years earlier than that, in 1992, is when things really started, and that's when the phone calls to our house started ramping up, explaining that this person's gone missing or this person has died. And so come 94, during the genocide, obviously that was a very intense time for us, but then by the end of that year, Mum and I decided to fly there and actually connect with a whole bunch of family.
That's an incredibly intense thing to do. Can you take me back there? What did you see when you arrived?
Well, as a 12-year-old who's heard about these things in theory and seen all of the horrifying images on TV, to physically go into a space was a level of difficulty that no one can ever be prepared for. And so entering an airport that has no glass because it's all shot out and being barraged with a whole series of questions as to who you are and why you are, because I'm Matisse, I have an English dad and I wasn't quite brown enough to be Rwandan, and all of these other levels of complexity to do with human connection came about. And what I found the most difficult during that time was trying to understand what had happened with my family, but also physically present and be there to talk to them as someone who's trying to get to know them, as we've been so distant for so long.
Were you scared?
Every day there is a level of fear that I've never been able to achieve ever again. And just the slightest of noises is something that would set you off. So to this day, I have PTSD for certain sounds and smells and feelings. And I guess the best example as a 12-year-old was getting excited, in a sense, around the New Year's celebrations. It was one moment where they wanted people to come together, and then not realizing the devastation when you hear what sounded like a whole series of explosions across a mountain that were actually fireworks. So, you know, you're trying to kind of wrestle with finding a sense of normality, but everything around you has the potential for danger and fear. And I did see a lot of things and physically experience a lot of things at that time that I would never wish upon anybody.
This week marks 25 years since the genocide. How are you marking it here in Australia?
There's a very small community of Rwandese people across Australia. I think in Victoria there's less than 100 of us and we know each other.
Less than 100?
Yes, that's right.
So basically two families. That's like almost, is that small?
Couple of families. couple of students. What I do physically is I wear black for the whole week, which for any Rwandese person is very weird. We love colours and patterns. But we do mark with our own ceremonies across the 100 days. So we started our 100 days mourning on 7th of April. It'll go through to July 4th. And across that time, different communities will either hold ceremonies at churches or in community halls where we'll come together, we'll sing particular songs that are to do with the genocide, and we'll hold a ceremony where we talk about what happened to our families and what we're doing about it now. So it's a series of principles around Umuganda in Kinyarwanda, which means to come together and work together.
You were in Rwanda on a family trip, I think, just last month. Mm-hmm. What did you notice then? How's the country moving on? Because after something as horrendous as this, 25 years is a drop in the water in terms of healing. Is it still very raw?
It's still very raw for many people. And being there so close to April, you could definitely see a change. However, the country is physically transformed and there are many parts of it that are almost unrecognisable. And to an extent, that helps. It also helps to see so many people having to work side by side together. There's a lot of trauma that you can hold on to as a person who's overseas in the diaspora versus someone who has to be there every single day. And so the level of economic development and physical buildings everywhere, schools, universities everywhere, is something that gives you a lot of hope for changing an ideology that lasted for close to 100 years.
I understand a key part of reconciliation is not talking about ethnicity, so not asking or telling if you're Tutsi or Hutu. Is that just in the country or among the diaspora as well?
It's generally seen as the correct thing to do across the diaspora for a number of reasons, predominantly because there's a lot of violence that still happens. Even in Australia, there was an incident a few years ago of someone being poisoned in Queensland. So the racial tensions between groups of people are alive and well in different places, and it's generally seen as a mode of protection of yourself to not reveal these things, which by and large are kind of superfluous, to be honest, and because of Belgian colonisation, were pretty much made up to an extent. I mean, you can't tell someone they are a particular tribe because their nose has a certain angle and a particular measurement. I mean, that's the arbitrary nature of some of the delineation. So these days we all say we're Rwandan, full stop, and anything else is a level of information that's only particular to your own family.
Stephanie, thank you so much for stepping in and explaining what is, I know, a very difficult issue.
Thank you.
Stephanie Kabanyana Kanyandekwe is a Rwandan-British composer here in Australia and the presenter on ABC Classic right here at the ABC. This is RN Drive.